Dr. Science, or Dr. Pepper? It's the news according to me. Yeah, he's in the news again, and I've got a comment. I just have to, because that's just the way I am. That's the way I roll. There you go. Again, struggling with internet issues. I'm at my studio at home today, and it's a very frustrating event. I left my computer on last night because, you know, that's what people do. It goes to sleep on its own. It does its own, has its own little thing. I just kind of let it do its own thing, you know, because it's artificial intelligence and all that stuff. It does its little thing. Well, I've got this thing called an iCloud account. And so now I can't, now there's, what is going on with this? That's great. I have this thing called an iCloud account. And many of you probably know what that is. Maybe you don't. If you don't, you could possibly be living under a rock, which is possible. I think some of my listeners actually do live under rocks, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what you do. And that's why you haven't heard about the iCloud account. But if you haven't heard about the iCloud, I'm kind of concerned about how you're actually listening to this show. Because that's kind of weird how you must be listening to this. So I'm not sure exactly how that's happening, but I don't need to know. All I need to know is that you're listening and that you're there, because that's really the important part of it. Well, that and the two important things really are, you know, that you're there and what's in my cup. And what's in my cup this morning is hot chocolate. My wife decided that my belly needs to be full of apple fritters. And nothing washes down an apple fritter quite like a cup of hot cocoa. Now, I suppose some of you who drink coffee would say that coffee does a better job with the old fritter wash. But I don't drink coffee. I personally don't drink coffee. Publicly, I do, but not personally. No, personally, I just don't drink coffee. My wife doesn't drink coffee either. Our parents drank coffee. Everybody around us drinks coffee. We don't drink coffee because we're unique. We identify as non-coffee drinkers, if that's a thing. So we're in that. That's the group we're in. That's our identity. And so I will hereby now be always want to be referred to as a non-coffee drinker. Or you can call me they. Either whatever you want. Well, you can call me whatever you want. I don't care. I'm not going to sue you for any not calling me what I want to be called. But I reserve the right to call you names as well. So I'll just leave it at that. How did I get off on this subject? How does this happen to me? I'm 1 minute I'm talking about one thing. Next thing you know, I'm calling you names. So, my internet speeds. My wife bought me some apple fritters. And, of course, that got me all excited about getting up this morning. So last night, I couldn't hardly sleep. Fell asleep on the sofa a little bit, but then I woke up about 11 o'clock, went to bed. And to the sounds of what I thought was the ocean. Apparently, it was snow. She was playing this little thing on her phone. It was the only reason I'm talking about her is because if I happen to mention her, she'll if she's listening to the show. See, I'll find out if she's listening. I won't ask her if she listened to the show. If I talk about her, she'll say something about it. My guess is she's not listening to the show. I think she tuned me out about a year ago, and I started the show about 6 months ago. So I'm pretty sure she doesn't listen to the show. But I went to bed, and she had this little app on her phone, and it was playing. Supposedly it was supposed to be snow. I thought it was the, when I listened to it, I thought it was the ocean, like waves. And so I fell asleep to the sound of waves. What I thought was waves, but apparently it was snow. I'm surprised I was able to sleep at all because I was so confused. But, so I got these apple fritters and, so I was eating one of those this morning and I was washing it down with hot chocolate, which is why there's hot chocolate in my cup. And my last night as I fell asleep, I was supposed to post the show, the 196th episode last night. And, somehow I fell asleep and was unable to accomplish the task of going down to the basement where my home studio is, and creating and actually uploading the show last night. So then I didn't upload the show. And on the 9th, midnight of the 9th of every month, in other words, the 10th, starting off the 10th of every month, my internet speeds reset, and I have 15 gigs at home. I have 15 gigabytes of high speed at 150 MPS, which is fast enough to do a lot of things. But I have this iCloud account, and I've got 31.94 gigabytes, and I'm reading it right off the screen here, so that's exactly, I'm giving you the exact number. I didn't make that up. Of data. Now, some of you would call it data. I prefer to call it data in this context. And it's 31.94 gigabytes of data. And it's only done 19.21 gigabytes of that 31.94 gigabytes. So it's a little over halfway. It's almost two-thirds. And it's taken 3 months. Because what happens is that first 15 gigs just burns it right up. Like within hours. Like it uploaded that stuff in like an hour. So by 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a text message. You've used up all your 15 gigabytes. And then it sits there for the rest of the month, trying to upload another gigabyte. And I meant to turn the Wi-Fi off last night so that it wouldn't dump everything. And I was just going to kind of muddle through with my computer here at home and not use the internet if I could possibly get away with it on my studio computer and just use my other one at the office. Which, for some reason, I don't have this problem with the one at the office. Now, one of the issues is that this is a new computer, not a new one. It's a used one, but it's a newer computer. And when I got it, it was not the iCloud, you know, all the data that was on that's on the other one was not on this one. And so it has to upload all that. It has to sync the iCloud account. So, it's syncing. The computer is syncing. So I need to get an inflatable life raft of some sort for it to keep it from syncing. So the frustrating thing is I woke up this morning and realized that I forgot to turn the Wi-Fi off on this computer last night, and therefore all of our fast gigabytes of data are gone. So what we had in data transfer, we now have in data transfer. It's data is the slower of the two. Data is the fast transfer, and data is the slow transfer. That's how I'm going to refer to it from now on. So Dr. Pepper apparently is more trustworthy to the American people than Dr. Fauci. But apparently Dr. Fauci is actually Mr. Science. I didn't realize he is equal to and equivalent of science. He's like a walking science globule. I don't know how else to put it. If he says it, it's science. Now, if you don't believe that he has this opinion of himself. I'm going to pick on him today because that's the way I roll. Because this guy he's a mess. This guy has serious issues. And I'm not exactly sure what his personality disorder is, but he definitely has one. Now, as I had mentioned on another show, I don't mind picking on this guy because this guy has disrupted so many things. And personally, in my opinion, I think he was the leftist's in to the Trump administration. The one place they could get to Trump, the one thing they could get him on was this. This pandemic, and of course, Fauci had to step in as the expert, and Trump did not dare to go against anything he said. Even though now, there's also been extremely large reports coming back. These are peer-reviewed, scientific-studied reports that properly administrated hydroxychloroquine, along with a couple of other medications, increased or reduced symptoms of COVID infection, increased survivability and decreased symptoms by 200%. That's the conservative number. 200%. The media, in my opinion, the media is culpable in the deaths of thousands of people. They want to be quick to say that this was Trump's virus and Trump caused all these hundreds of thousands of people wouldn't be dead if it wouldn't be for Trump. Trump botched it all. And yet they vilified him. They put words in his mouth. Whether you like the guy or not, what the media did out of hatred for him far outweighs anything that Trump ever did that you don't like. Oh, what? Did Donald Trump get us into any wars? Did he send your children off to war? Can you accuse him of not caring when military personnel were killed overseas? What is it exactly that you're so incensed about him? What is it personally that he did to you that personally the media did to you? Or maybe someone you know who isn't with us anymore, who could have been. I'm not saying they would be, but the odds of them being there are twice as good. If what President Trump had said about hydroxychloroquine and therapeutics of different kinds that they vilified him for, then they said he told you to drink Clorox. He never said that. And yet the media has half the country believing that he said that. And there's no accountability for these people. And there needs to be. I don't know that I had any dreams last night. It seems like I did, and I can't remember what they were, but I know I remember waking up thinking about some things this morning that I think were influenced by some dreams I had. And a lot of it had to do, a lot of the thoughts I had to do with how do we combat the tyranny? How do we confront it? How do we get out ahead of this tyranny that we see coming in our land? Now, the leftists would say, no, that's not tyranny. This is liberty and freedom. We're going to free you. This is freedom we're going to give you. No, they have a different idea of what freedom is. They think freedom is given to us by the government. And all we have to do is comply with what the government says and does, and we will have freedom because we've complied with everything that they told us. If you don't comply, you don't have freedom. You got to have then we can now you're a felon. We could take all your rights away because you didn't comply with the government's what the government wanted you to do. But in actuality, the foundation of our print and the principles of our country is that the government cannot compel you to do anything. Even paying taxes. Folks, income taxes were never meant to be in the foundation of this country. When you exchange your labor in exchange for something else in return, you are exchanging your life. That's one of your rights. You have a right to life. You've exchanged your life for that compensation, whatever it might be, whether it be gold, silver, dollars, U.S. currency, Bitcoin, pigs, corn, whatever it is that you're exchanging your life for that 8 hours that you worked. You've exchanged it for, well, in my case, it would be about $1 million from 8 hours of my work, in case you're wondering, if you want to hire me for anything. It's negotiable. But I got to start high, which isn't all that high. But when you consider that it's going to cost about $1 million for a tank of gas here, not before too long. Or if you want to go buy $2 million worth of lumber at the lumberyard. So we have this stuff going on. And how do we combat this? How do we get out ahead of it? Because now, you know, the strategies that can be used to, you know, say that the police, I've been looking at some of the things that have been happening in Australia and New South Wales and different places around the world where they were enforcing some of the COVID laws, and the way the police treated people who were outside. You don't think that this can happen. This was happening over a virus that had a 0.5% death rate. Like a bad flu season. And had a transmissibility rate that was pretty high. Higher than the flu. I'll give it that. And they went nuts over this thing. Like it was killing everybody. Like this was the Black Plague. I saw police officers walking around in airports telling people to cover their nose. Make sure your nose is covered. They were policing the masks. In some states, they are actually policing the masks in parks and those kinds of things. They're actually going around telling people, make sure you wear your mask. You have to wear a mask. Or if you go into a store and people start yelling at you because you're not wearing your mask, because they're insane. Now you're getting into an argument with someone who, you know, probably isn't sick. They're not wearing their mask, but got news for you. By yelling at each other, you're actually spreading more germs than if you just shut up and went about your business. So think about those things. Think about how crazy we can become in those circumstances. Because they had us so scared of all this stuff. Now, having said all that, and the reason I talk about Dr. Fauci, is because he was recently asked some questions about how, you know, people are kind of realizing what this guy's about now, finally. And they don't trust him. Vast majority of people now believe at least the polls say, that the vast majority of people in the country believe that this thing came from a lab in Wuhan. Now, I got to tell you, hello, I think most of America has believed that from the beginning, or has at least been credibly suspicious about it. That this idea that it came from a bat. Now get this. This is what we were told by Mr. Science, by Dr. Science here, the walking science, who he just oozes science. He is science. He physically is the embodiment of science. He's the incarnation of science, apparently. Was telling us that this came from a natural pathogen that transferred. It's a natural evolution of viruses that they transfer into people. That's what we were told by Mr. Science. Now, we've also been told by 200 other doctors that have sworn testimony to say, over 200 doctors, that they got sworn testimony from over 200 virologists, by the way, not just scientists like they use for global warming. All these scientists are saying that, scientists, that's kind of a broad general. I mean, was my science teacher in school, was she a scientist? Would she be considered a scientist? I don't know. You have a degree in biology. Does that make you a scientist? I don't know. Virologists. These were virologists and epidemiologists. They all said it was virtually impossible for this particular genome strain to transfer to humans on its own. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. All I can say is that's what they're saying. And yet, Dr. Fauci has the nerve in front of Rand Paul and in front of Congress to say, they're wrong. They're all wrong. Because he is science and he has spoken. And the media stands up for this guy. So let's hear exactly what Dr. Science has to say about himself here when he's confronted by Jake Tapper about how people are attacking him and how he feels about that. How does that make you feel, Dr. Fauci? How does it make you feel? Let's find out. Oh.
Dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science.
So if you're attacking Dr. Fauci, you're attacking science. Because one day, wearing a mask is not a big deal. The next day, you better wear two. One day, there's no way this thing escaped from a lab. The next day, it's possible that it did. And we need to have an investigation. One day, hydroxychloroquine. If you notice, Anthony Fauci never came out and said anything about hydroxychloroquine. In the midst of all the controversy over the whole thing, and nobody ever asked him. Conveniently, nobody ever asked him about hydroxychloroquine after President Trump made the statements and said he was actually on a therapy, a hydroxychloroquine therapeutic. He never publicly made a stand on hydroxychloroquine. And now it comes out that, oh yes, by the way, hydroxychloroquine decreases the symptoms and decreases the death rate by about 200% when properly administered. So, thank you very much, Mr. Dr. Science. Senator Kennedy was interviewed right after this. I happen to watch the whole thing segment here. I won't bore you with the gory details. But the doctor, Senator Kennedy said, people trust Dr. Pepper right now more than they trust Dr. Fauci. Now, again, this tells you something about this guy's ego when he says, if you're attacking me, you're attacking science. As a public health official, like he's a public servant, he's just doing this voluntarily. He's the highest paid bureaucrat in the government. He gets paid more than the president, by the way. You know, because he deserves it. Well, he's got a lot of bills to pay over there in Wuhan. So, got to pay off a lot of people now because I got to hide the bodies somewhere. The sad thing about all this is that we, the American people, have had to suffer this through this whole thing. We've been the ones paying the price on this. And we're going to continue to. They're going to continue to use this. They're going to continue to manipulate this. And you have to keep in mind, take a step back from this and realize this was a huge hoax in terms of the way the media played this and the way they did things. I'm not saying that the virus was a hoax. The virus is a very real thing. But they've known better, and they've been giving us disinformation. Now, misinformation is when you make a mistake. When you report on something and you realize, oh, we were given some false information, or what it looked like wasn't the case, so they make a correction. They bury it on page 12. When you give disinformation, that means you are deliberately giving people incorrect information for a purpose. You have an agenda. You have a motive to do so. And I am going to contend that happened in this case. That over the last 4.5 years, that is what the agenda has been. It has been a campaign of disinformation. You don't have to step back. If you have an objective bone in your body, it doesn't take much to step back and realize that. Hopefully I'm speaking to some of you who are on the fence about this kind of thing, who kind of want to give the benefit of the doubt to the media, that you trust the media and you trust the government, your government. Just because it's not your party, all of a sudden you don't trust them. If it's your party, oh yeah, you can trust them all the way. And I don't trust the Republicans all the way, especially the establishment Republicans. I don't trust some of the people who claim to be on the conservative side of the fence. Because if they've found that that's where their niche is, and they have some contingency there, they have some constituents that will vote on them. That's how they win. They have to stay on that in that mindset. They have to present that as who they are. It's not what drives them. It's not what their principles are. That just happens to be where they can stay in power. I have no doubt there's some of them that way. And I, frankly, I know some of you like Lindsey Graham. Probably. He's made a couple of good speeches here and there. But how effective has the guy really been? He's always calling for investigations. He wants to have an investigation into something else now. I can't remember what it is. He was talking the other day. I heard him talking about this investigation. You got to want to launch an investigation. Okay, go ahead. Have your little investigation. Keep calling the big tech guys in front of Congress and in front of the Senate to testify. And we will get nowhere with that. It'll be a big grandstanding show that makes it look like you guys are coming down hard on them. And then they go on about their business the next minute. As soon as they hang up the phone, as soon as they hang up the Zoom call, they're back to doing what they were doing before. Speaking of big tech, there was an interesting little tidbit that came up the other day. Actually, today, this morning, I was listening to some news. And since that's what this show is about, is my commentary on the news, because it's the news, according to me. I don't know if you are aware of that, but when I come in the morning and I say it's the news according to me. Yeah, I know, that probably scared half of you there. Sorry. When I say that, it just triggers the music, because because whenever I say that it's the news according to me, yeah, see how that works. That's AI for you. So Bing is is owned by, I believe it's Microsoft. I believe it's a Microsoft search engine. I use Bing quite a bit, actually. I've switched over now to DuckDuckGo, and I don't know if it's any better. Now, a little side note here. This is a side note to the side note. We're now on the second side note. So in other words, this is the bunny trail that leads off the side of a bunny trail. It's a rabbit hole that goes into a gopher hole that leads to a groundhog at the end of the thing. Now, there's these apps out there right now. My nephew sent me a link to an app that's a non-traceable messenger app. Messaging app. And you can get on there and you can, the government, it's encrypted. Everything's encrypted. It's all encrypted, because that's the buzzword now. It's encrypted. Like this show is. This show is encrypted. You can't tell actually what I'm saying, because it's just a bunch of blathering idiocy. It's encrypted in idiocracy. You can't encrypt it. It's once it's encrypted, it can't be unencrypted. So it's this messaging thing. And I really have my doubts about it. Now, I have no doubt that, you know, it could be. I don't know. But I here's where my suspicions are. And I'm very skeptical of it. And here's why. Of course, I signed up for it. And we were messaging back and forth about, you know, stupid things. Like as if we were, you know, secret spies, you know, talking back and forth about, you know, stuff, pizza and whatever. I don't know. And, you know, things that third grade kids talk about, but that's pretty much, you know, kind of sense of humor I have when I'm, you know, on my own. And the interesting thing, you know, when you sign up for this thing, it wants to know your phone number, wants to know your address, wants to know, you know, wants a picture of your ID, all kinds of stuff. But it's encrypted. It's all encrypted. But now they have all my ID and stuff. And that's a little bit unnerving. Because why would they care? Now, there was a recent bust. It's a worldwide bust of drug cartel stuff, all kinds of underground black market stuff that happened, was going on. And they arrested a whole bunch of people. I think it was like 2,000 people worldwide they arrested. Maybe it was 200. I don't know. It could have been 20. It might have been just a two. I don't know. There was somebody arrested. And the government, come to find out, the government had created, I think it was the FBI, had created this app for people to message on. Communication system over the internet that they were monitoring. Now, I don't know if it was this particular app or not, and I have no fear about that, because if it is the government that has it, then I'm not that as worried about it. But of course, if it gets hacked, now they've got all my information, which is, you know, that's the case for just about anything anyway. I mean, my information's out there. Anybody can hack somebody that's got it, and there goes my, whether it's the government or somebody else, I don't care. What are they going to get from me? You're going to go online and start paying my bills? So I have this, they can steal my identity. Now there's something. That's worth it. That and about $5 will get you a cup of coffee. Not a good cup of coffee, but it'll get you a cup of coffee. And I don't even drink coffee, so I don't really care about that either. Let's look this up. There was a takedown messenger system used to take down criminals. There we go. Let's see what it has to say about it. Nothing. Your data shouldn't be for sale at DuckDuckGo. We agree. FBI secretly ran a secure messaging service. Let's see what the name of it is. I hope I can find the name of this thing, because error. Service is currently unavailable. Oops, error. Yeah, every time I try to click on a thing here, it's not giving me anything. Okay, this one is bulletin. Utama.com. My mail is always within reach. Results are staggering. FBI creates messaging app to snag organized crime in global sting operation. Trojan Shield. Criminal gangs communicated plans for moving drug shipments and carrying out killings on a messaging app secretly run by the FBI, law enforcement agencies said Tuesday. As they unveiled a global sting operation, they said dealt an unprecedented blow to organized crime in countries around the world. The operation known as Trojan Shield to police raids in 16 nations. More than 800 suspects were arrested. Okay, so I got that really wrong. There was no two in there at all. Maybe it was 802 suspects were arrested. And more than 32 tons of drugs, including cocaine, cannabis, amphetamines, and methamphetamines, were seized, along with 250 firearms, 55 luxury cars, and more than $148 million in cash and crypto... And cryptocurrencies. How do you seize cryptocurrencies if it's encrypted? FBI developed special app, gave phones with app to middlemen who passed them on to gangs. The operation was started when law enforcement agencies earlier took down two encrypted platforms, EncroChat and Sky ECC, that had been used by criminal gangs to organize drug trafficking and underworld hits. With the gangs in the market for new means of communication, the FBI stepped in with a covertly developed app called Anom that was installed and modified in mobile phones. Over the past 18 months, the FBI provided phones via unsuspecting middlemen to more than 300 gangs operating in more than 100 countries. So this thing called Anom. Now I don't know what mine was called. Actually, I don't even know what it's called. Let's see what it's called. I don't know. We're gonna find out. And there it is, right there. What is it called? I don't know. Huh. That's interesting. One of my other contacts is now on. It's called this one. Yeah, the one I've got. It's not called Anom. I'm not gonna say what it's called because I don't want you getting on there. So it's interesting that this kind of thing happens. And so that's why I'm suspicious. That's the whole reason I raise concern about the whole thing, because I don't know the people behind it. I don't know who's gathering up this information and what they're doing with it. Whether it be for nefarious reasons or for good reasons, I don't know. It just there's reasons why I have to be my own little protector of my own stuff, and I'm going to trust somebody else with it because I just know how they are, and that's this. Yeah, there you go. Now that was a side note to my side note. My other side note was something else that I forgot about now totally. In China, Bing, okay, I'm getting back to this whole Bing thing. I just heard this morning that how many of you have heard of Tank Man? Raise your hands. I see a few of you there. The Tank Man was the guy in Tiananmen Square and in Tiananmen Square was the China thing that happened when there was a protest against the Chinese Communist Party. This was kind of before the CCP really. There's a different kind of regime there now. The CCP is really kind of different than what it was back in Tiananmen Square days. I can't even remember what year it was. If only I had like a World Wide Web of information that I could just type in. Let me just type in Tank Man. See what it says. There he is. Tank Man. It was 1989. So this would have been. And this would have been during the first Bush administration. First year of the Bush administration. So Tank Man, also known as the unknown protester or unknown rebel, is the nickname of an unidentified Chinese man who stood in front of a column of tanks leaving Tiananmen Square on June 5th, 1989. As the lead tank maneuvered to pass them by the man, he repeatedly shifted his position in order to obstruct the tank's attempted path around him. Nobody knows who it was. At least according to there's some speculation on who it might have been, but nobody knows who he was. It looked like it was some guy he had little shopping bags, and he was just out there, probably just going home from buying some food. He's out there protesting. Now this is a real protester. This guy has some bravery. He wasn't up on the tank twerking as it was going down the road. He was simply standing in front of it. Now, here's where I'm getting at with this. This guy is iconic in terms of what happened there in Tiananmen Square. This event was an iconic event. It was a markedly notable imprint in what happened. And Bing, the other day, people were, because it was the anniversary of Tiananmen Square. It was on June 5th of 1989. And people were Googling it, or not Googling it. They were Binging it. They were Binging Tank Man to get those images. And when they would click on the images, they would not come up. We're sorry. That service is just a second ago. Wasn't letting me go there. So people were clicking on this thing and trying to get images and video, they couldn't get it because Bing was not allowing it. Other search engines were. Now, keep in mind, Bing is a Microsoft search engine. Bing is also one of the very few search engines allowed in communist China. When big tech starts to kowtow to this kind of activity, all in the name of marketing and being able to operate in a very large... See, people here in this country who were developing things and selling products and had services, things like basketball, other parts of entertainment industry, Hollywood. When they start to realize, when China started to industrialize and everybody started having televisions and they started having cars and they started buying things and watching entertainment, getting computers. Suddenly, there was a billion person market there, four times the size of the United States at that time. And the potential, because we can't sell them, goods and service. We can't really sell them any goods. We can't clean their hotels for them. Services aren't really something we can do because it requires people. And we don't build anything over here anymore. It would just be, they would ship it over here and we'd sell it back to them over there. But entertainment is a huge market. And there are four times the number of people there that there are here. So think about that for a moment. That's the motivation for this stuff. There was an airline, I believe it was an airline that was not, they weren't calling Taiwan, Taiwan. Because the Chinese government was upset about it and they weren't going to allow them to fly into China. Their flights to China were going to be unapproved. Probably Hong Kong, actually. Because now the CCP has taken over Hong Kong. And they kowtowed to that. Oh, okay, we won't call Taiwan Taiwan. This is a crazy time. And, you know, China doesn't have to invade us if we start looking more and more like China. If we continue to bow down to their demands and their desire to control and rule the world, which is exactly what they have. I don't know if you realize this. They want to be the economic, they want to be the dominant power in the world. This is in documents in their charter, if you want to call it. It's a little different than a charter. It's like their mission statement, sort of. It's hard to explain how they see it. They see themselves with a manifest destiny to be the system that the world needs to operate under. And we are falling in line either by default or by a mistake by thinking that collectivism, whether it be socialism or socialist, democratic socialism, whatever it is, still socialism, whether you voted in or not, it doesn't matter. This afternoon, I'm going to talk a little bit about democracy, and at least that's my thought right now. Maybe I should have a little bit of a show on democracy and what it really means and why it is dangerous. Because a republic that is based on individual rights, where the people hold the Constitution, they have a means of keeping the government in check. Not just through voting. Because voting is dangerous when you consider that if it's a majority rule voting system, it is deadly. This is why we have an electoral college. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that this afternoon, maybe. If I can think about it, unless something else pops in my head, which it probably will, because at least I got back from the bunny trail, and made that full circle. I was concerned it was going to get lost down another mine shaft there for a while. But when big tech starts to get this kind of power and they start to get this kind of ability to control the narrative, to control things that are going on. And we've got some serious problems. So, needless to say, I think that the days ahead of us are going to be very challenging, in my opinion. And we are going to have to be well-informed and well-aware we're going to have a plan. We can't just ride along down the river and be along for the ride in this whole thing. Now, I know God is going to take care of us. I know God is going to provide for us, show us the way. He's going to light the path. But I think he's given us a brain for a reason. Not in our own strength, but divinely inspired understanding and wisdom. because inevitably we know what Revelation says. We will win ultimately in the end, but there's going to be a major battle in between. God bless everybody. Have a great day.